Sack Gamers Podcast. Welcome to the Rusak Gamers Podcast, episode 121. Here's the deal. We had planned on getting into the Burning Wheel-derived Torchbearer game by now. Unfortunately, Jeff's schedule kind of killed that idea, especially since he was going to be our GM. So tonight we begin our foray into Numenera, and our first episode will be all about character creation. Now, not only was Jeff unable to be there, Jason couldn't make it either. Todd, Joe, Bill, Doug, and I carried on as we worked through the differences between glaives, nanos, and jacks. Oh, and look in the show notes for various links to the character creation sheets, generic info, and a pretty cool random character generator. Oh, and a shout out to Ronnie, who self-describes himself as one of our three fans. Thanks for the email, Ronnie. Now, we have all sorts of ways for you to contact us. Comments, critique, and general feedback can be left in our voicemail, 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-766. Send us email, roy@rusackgamers.com. Now, you can also look for us on Facebook, or stop by our rpgcrosstalk.com forum. Don't forget, you can also listen to us on Stitcher or iTunes, and make Doug happy. Leave us a review. Enjoy the show. All right, we're recording.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
I'm Roy. And to my left is?
I'm Doug.
And I'm Todd.
And I'm Bill.
And Joe's going to be joining us here shortly, I guess. What do you say, 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
Okay, 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Whenever Joe decides to join us.
He's got 10 minutes. Jason and Jeff are unable to join us tonight. We are going to start off and make characters for Numenera. Because Jeff was supposed to run us through Torchbearer, and he keeps getting behind in all sorts of other things, like, you know, isn't gaming supposed to be more important?
Of course.
Point of fact.
Yeah.
You're not going to actually present this episode until we start playing Numenera, right?
Yeah.
So your comments about Jeff not being here and blah, blah, blah are pointless because this will be like a month down the road.
Next week.
Aren't we starting Torchbearer next week?
No. We're going through Numenera.
We're going to do Numenera probably for the next 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Oh, so you're going to get up in my grill, huh?
I see.
Carry on. Keep calm. Carry on.
Getting uppity over there, bud.
No. I thought we were doing Torchbearer next, which
well,
is
no. We were, and then
we were going to, but
and then Jeff talked about missing. He's going to miss 2 or 3 weeks.
Three weeks at least.
Right.
Yeah.
So then we said, well, let's go to something else and.
Thanksgiving, he's not even going to be in the state for around Thanksgiving, so.
Right.
Okay, anyways, we're going to be doing Numenera. Numenera is the new game out by Monte Cook. Kickstarter was this summer. The book is gorgeous. So let's get right to the beginning of it. There have been 8 previous worlds. You may refer to them as ages, aeons, epochs, or eras, but it is not wrong to think of each as its own individual world. Each former world stretched across vast millennia of time. Each left behind remnants. And that's kind of where we're at. The setting is said to be medieval, and yet you don't have to worry about any of the anachronisms. Is that what you said before,
mm-hmm.
Bill?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about any anachronisms. Okay, so you got zippers, you got guns, you got all kinds of stuff. You just...
Eyeglasses. Plastic.
Yeah.
Socialism, I think, was the point in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it?
You could have a medieval setting that had the concept of socialism in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the things that we know or think we know exist.
Yep. In any weird variety, shape, or form. Elephants with antlers.
Oh, yeah.
We could do that. You could have elephants with antlers.
Well, that's just mutation.
Yeah, I know.
Or genetic experimentation. Or alien invasion. Or
alien pets.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole point
you know,
is that
we would make great pets.
We would make great pets. So, Roy here, me, and I am going to run the game. These guys are going to create the characters and let me, you know, have at them. Doug, what kind of idea for a character do you have?
Well, going by the formula, the character I'm creating is a learned nano who talks to machines.
Go back over the formula. You mentioned the formula.
When you create a character in Numenera, it's kind of based on a formula. So you pick a descriptor, which is like an adjective, a type, which is the noun, and the focus, which is kind of the verb in that sentence. So the type is the what you think of as the character class. So you have Glaive, Nano, and Jack.
Right.
Glaive is kind of the fighter types, Nano is kind of the magic user types, and Jack is kind of the jack-of-all-trades bard type. To that, you add the descriptor. I selected learned. So,
Each one of these has their own subsets of descriptors?
No.
No, or there's one set of descriptors?
There's a global set of descriptors and a global set of focus.
Okay.
Each descriptor gives you, a minor skill, some minor talents. Focuses can give you, bigger skills and even some drawbacks, mm-hmm. and also modify your pool points.
And the website, which I will include in the show notes, has a pretty good two-page character creation walkthrough that goes over every section on the character sheet and free character sheets. Of course, you got to print them. And Doug, one more time, your character is a...
He is a learned nano who talks to machines. So my idea for this character is that he's been told a secret by the machines, and he has journeyed out and met up with the party to find out more about what that is.
Cool.
I'm thinking he's heard rumors of the machine, the machine that knows everything, the mythical white elephant. I don't know.
You're the dude from Revolution, aren't you?
Could be.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to turn the power back on. No, wait a minute.
No, wait a minute. They did that and it went badly. Todd.
Yes.
What's your character concept?
I am Sump. I am a tough glaive who masters weaponry. And essentially I'm a military guy who have friends that still serve, and my former commander remembers me well.
How high up in the military were you? Do you have an idea?
I was an NCO. I wasn't an officer. I was an NCO over... I was that master sergeant that trains all the butter bars. You know butter bars?
I know the concept, yes.
Second lieutenants?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. And you actually have a name.
Sump.
Yep. Tickles Bill, I think, over there. He's just kind of shaking him.
It's humorous.
Bill, what do you got for a character?
I'm just jealous that I haven't. I've been thinking about it all day, and I still haven't come up with a name.
And it took me 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Names are hard.
Actually, the idea came from Roy, because God help him, he's had problems with the sump pump here at his house.
No. I've never had a problem with the sump pump.
You haven't?
No.
But you flooded down here before.
I flooded in the basement, okay. Which is why we now have a sump pump.
Okay.
And I am so excited when I hear the sump pump kick on during a big rainstorm.
Yeah. And that's why I thought of Roy when I came over here. Because it happens to be raining today.
Bill, character concept.
My character is a mystical glaive that carries a quiver. The basic concept is that I'm like a Zen archer.
Cool. You were saying when you were digging down into the minutiae of your character, you were saying something about taking something so that you can also fight hand to hand.
Yeah, yeah. There's a glaive. They have fighting moves. You get to select two of them. There's like 5, 6 or something like that.
Uh huh.
One of them increases your hand to hand damage from there's 3 categories of damage, light, medium, and heavy. Punches and knives, things like that, are all light damage. But this ability moves my hand damage up to medium damage.
Okay. What would be heavy damage?
Two-handed sword.
Lasers? Can lasers be heavy damage? Do they have lasers?
I don't think they necessarily have lasers per se on general weapons. I mean, you might find some Numenera. Yeah.
That's another good point. We keep saying the setting is Numenera. Numenera is also the term for all the weird stuff just lying around the world.
Like lasers and like teleporters.
Yeah.
And
floating mountains.
Floating mountains. belts that surround you in a bubble of energy that keeps things from touching you, pills that turn you paisley.
Discs that have a gem on them that when you concentrate that you can cause things to levitate. Okay, so the Numenera, they do divide those down into different versions. There are the artifacts, the ciphers, and the oddities. Artifacts are the large devices, like
repeat uses.
Repeat uses, yes. Yeah. Ciphers are usually small, according to the book, minor devices that most characters can coax a single effect from. Kind of like a potion.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a potion.
One shot.
One shot deal, yeah.
Pills, grenades.
Healing. That sort of thing. Oddities are the relics that are neither ciphers nor artifacts. They serve no obvious purpose, but have strange functions that are at least curious, if not downright entertaining. Their examples include a piece of glass in a metal frame that shows a peculiar image, a box with three bells that ring at unpredictable times. Not everything from the prior world can be understood, is what they say in the book. Okay, we pause there for a second, and Joe came in. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Joe, you've just been looking over the book. Do you have a plan for your character?
Yeah, I was thinking either a Nano or a Jack.
Okay.
What about a Jack Nano?
Actually,
Private Eye.
Jacks are kind of Nano.
See?
Yeah, Jacks.
As you progress, you can, being a jack of all trades, you can take a little bit from the glaive, you can take a little bit from the nano, and you take a little bit just for yourself.
Mm-hmm. See?
So I could actually be a jack that controls gravity or...
Oh yeah, the third one? That doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
I mean, it doesn't matter what your noun is. Whether you're a glaive, a jack, or a nano, for the most part, any of the focus works with any of the classes.
So he could be a nano that carries a quiver?
Yeah, could be. I don't know how effective that would be. But, you know, I'm kind of sacrificing a little bit. I mean, I could be a tough or swift or mighty or whatever the fighting mm-hmm. adjectives are.
Mm-hmm.
But I chose mystical because it... Blend it into my character concept.
Sure.
So yeah, I don't get +1 armor and I don't get +2 to my might pool or whatever, but I'm going to enjoy my character.
That's what's important.
Yeah.
So, what else do we need to know about Numenera? Numenera is, once you get into your character, you'll find that you have dice pools, essentially, to make things easier for you, make, whatever you want to accomplish easier.
Well, now that's something. We haven't talked about the resolution mechanic at all.
Resolution mechanics, it's very, Bill and I were chatting about this a little bit before when I showed up. Resolution mechanic has a very, dungeon world feel to it. The GM here rolls no dice. Okay. Even when a creature is attacking you, you roll your defense. I don't roll an attack. Okay, so
But it goes on a turn, right?
Yeah, yeah. But still, like I said, the GM, I got no dice out in front of me. I will not be using any dice, which is a little sad, because I like dice. But that's fine.
Lord knows you've bought enough.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't think as much as Jeff, though. And his are all green, or variations of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what'll happen is I will set the difficulty. If something is so simple that you can just go do it, like walking up to the door and opening a door... You don't need to roll. Something simple, you do it, just go with it. The more difficult something is, like you want to walk up the face of a wall, that would be a very tough thing to do. I don't remember the specific terminology at the moment. There's, 10 different versions?
Ten different levels.
And once I set that, that will determine what your target number is. And you can apply effort from your, what essentially means a dice pool. To lower that, and your talents, your skills, these things can all decrease that also.
And other things that isn't explained in the character creator.
Yep. So it's an interesting resolution mechanic. I'm really looking forward to giving this a try. Like I said, it seems to have a very dungeon world feel to it, where you guys are determining everything as far as your own destiny.
Well, as far as the roles go, but.
Yeah.
The world is all you.
Not all me. I mean, you guys have some input on it too.
I didn't notice any world
burning.
No authorship ability.
Yeah, tell us about the world.
So
great.
Right. Well, because it 700 pages or less.
Specifically, I'm interested in like the ecology. I mean, there's skills like botany and swimming. If we're going to be in a desert world, neither of those are useful. So,
what do you want to do? You want to be in a desert world? You want to be in? Do you want to just be able to skip around? There are ways that I can change this at a moment's notice. If you have an idea that you want to be in a lakefront property kind of setting, we can do that because I can get you there.
With all the old stuff floating around, you can be teleported in other dimensions or anything. But in my brief reading yesterday, as I read it, the email you sent me, it's like I devoured it trying to figure out what I was going to do. The world is kind of a Pangea at this point. There's only one huge continent, and humanity only exists in one small corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's explored a little bit beyond that they call, was it the Barrens?
Yes.
I'm sorry, were you done?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking at the map that's on the interior cover of the book.
Yep.
And it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
What about, it's at the arid Kalum. If you look at the star, which it looks like a capital, it's Lhauric, L-H-A-U-R-I-C.
Spell that again, please.
I don't. L-H-A-U-R-I-C. And the reason I say that is that it's a port fed by a river with steps on one side, a large forest, and mountains. So, I mean, you've got a bunch of stuff there. That's what I'm saying is that
That would be in the wilder part.
Yeah, you've got all kinds of topography around there, and if it's in a wilder part, then...
You know. Beyond, they call it.
Okay, there you go. We're kind of in the Wild West.
Near the Clock of Kala.
The Steadfast, not any safer, but it's more established.
Yeah, it's closer to the Clock of Kala than anybody else.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of tough to see on the map unless you're looking just right at it. I can kind of see on the one side of the map where you see the Steadfast, and then sort of towards the middle of it.
Then you cross this huge mountain range into the beyond.
It actually kind of looks like what Russia is with the Urals in the center.
It looks like the original map to in The Hobbit.
Well,
crossing the Misty Mountains.
Okay. Russia.
Where the spirits soar.
Russia is something that everybody will understand. Okay.
You think a single listener to any RPG podcast has not read The Hobbit?
Hey, while we're talking about the listeners, that reminds me. I would like to put a plea out to our three or four faithful listeners out there to go onto our iTunes page and put in a review of our podcast.
Why is that?
Because there's one review of our podcast on there.
And it's horrible.
From like the third or fourth podcast we did.
Oh, really?
I think his points were valid, that we talked over each other, that we talked about other things besides the game.
Right.
And I think it was valid at the time, but 200 episodes later.
117 episodes later.
Whatever. Not valid at all. So please, somebody besides my mom, go on the website, go on iTunes, and put in whatever you think is a honest review of our podcast. That's all I'm asking. And if it was nice and beautiful and awesome about us, I'd appreciate that too. But still, whatever you think is honest.
Yay.
Yay, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
And like us on Facebook.
So maybe I glossed over this, but what are the purpose of books in the game? Do they give you a bonus on skills or something?
I don't know.
I'm not really clear. I'm making assumptions based on what I gleaned from the player guide, but not having read the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it counts like training. I think it's an asset that will lower your difficulty if the book covers.
Applies to the skill you're trying to do.
And you spend the time to read the book. Actually, I did read that in there someplace. You have to spend the time to read the book. I think you have to take twice as long.
Okay.
To do it, or?
You have to have time.
Have to have
time.
And the
book has to be about whatever skill, related to whatever skill you're trying to do, and it gives you it lowers the difficulty by one.
Right.
Okay.
Well, what did they call it? It's not difficulty. They call it
effort? No.
Challenge? Because that number is then times 3 to get your target number.
Oh, okay. Oh, task that is
difficult.
Awesome.
It's difficulty. Task difficulty. Page 15 in your hymnals.
Yeah.
Task difficulty goes from 0 to 10. The descriptions go from routine to impossible, and the target number goes from 0 to 30.
And so, after you adjust your target, your task difficulty, then you multiply it by 3 to determine your target number.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's very handy then.
Yeah.
And then the number that you lessen the difficulty, it takes the difficulty down, or does it take the target number down?
Takes difficulty. The difficulty down.
Which reduces, like if you drop an edge point to make something a 5 or 4, your target number goes from 15 down to 12.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you reduce them by steps.
Right.
Right.
Is there any kind of healing in this game?
Yes.
How does healing work?
I don't know.
Is it a skill?
There is a verb, a focus that is a healing, has some healing abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some sort of recovery, which is in the main rule book that I haven't seen.
Yeah. Yeah. You rest and you get back points that you lost out of your pool. I read that bit.
Going by the character sheet, it looks like you can recover by an action, by 10 minutes, by an hour, and by 10 hours.
Mm.
That's just reading the boxes on the character sheet.
Page 94 has a recovery roll on it. Recovery roll. First recovery roll is one action. Second recovery roll, 10 minutes. Third recovery roll, 1 hour. Fourth recovery roll, 10 hours. Recovering points in a pool. After losing or spending points in a pool, you recover those points by resting. You can't increase a pool past its maximum by resting just back to its normal level. Any extra points gained go away with no effect. When you rest, you make a recovery roll. To do this, roll 1d6 and add your tier. Everyone begins at tier 1.
Correct.
And some abilities raise your recovery rate.
For example, if your recovery roll is 4 and you've lost 4 points of might and 2 points of speed, you can recover 4 points of might or 2 points of might and 2 points of speed or any other combination, adding up to 4 points. Okay. Joe, you got any more of your descriptor down yet?
I'm going to be a jack.
Okay. What kind of jack?
I'm thinking either clever or mystical.
What's the difference?
Well,
Bill took mystical, if that makes a difference to you. For the descriptors, we can all have overlapping descriptors.
Yeah.
But for the focus, it's one per person.
Right.
It is? I missed that part.
Yeah. In the beginning of the focus chapter, it says one per character or one per party.
One focus per party?
One focus per party, right.
Okay. And there, what did we determine? There were 30 of them?
29, I think you counted.
29.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the levels of skills? Trained and
specialist.
Specialist.
Got it.
And if you get a trained from two different places, you're a specialist. That didn't make any sense, but hopefully you understood what.
Well, it's kind of like having a, like in D&D, you can have a certain bonus from two different places that overlap. Same idea. Unnamed source and, oh, it's just all the terminology's flying out of my head now. We just had a game over the weekend, Todd, didn't we?
Yeah.
Deflection. There you go. You can have an unnamed bonus to armor class and a deflection bonus to armor class. They will stack. Same idea.
I'm a clever jack who controls gravity.
Okay.
There we have it.
Your
that's
graviton.
Cool.
Ooh.
That's me.
That's cool. I like that.
So where do I begin now that I've got that? Do I start with skills first here?
Okay, so you've chosen your character descriptor type and focus. Fill in your stat pools as determined by your type.
So I go to the jack section.
Right. Go to the jack section. Look that up.
You're clever probably added to one of the pools also.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. On page 44, does anybody else think that this guy looks like something out of Spies Like Us or maybe a Bill Murray?
Yeah. He does, doesn't he? He kind of looks like Brad Pitt.
Yeah, he does kind of, doesn't yeah. he? The artwork in this book is amazing.
It's tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. That. A lot, he's released a licensing type program now too. It's just short of being OGL, I believe. I'm not exactly sure what he's calling it. And a lot of people have been putting out information. Learned nanotoxin machine, 3 ciphers, 1 oddity. That's what I got to come up for you.
Yes.
Oh, so you pick those?
Well, under nano, it's under starting equipment. It says that you start with 3 ciphers and 1 oddity that are chosen by the GM.
Well, I get 2 ciphers and 2 oddities.
Make a note, hand it over.
Okay. You get 2 oddities. What kind of armor are you wearing there, dude?
I need to look at the book to make up my mind. I was tempted when I first thought about the character. I hadn't found the carries a quiver yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just going to go martial artist. I was going to take the one that makes me trained at speed defense if I'm not wearing armor. But then I found the quiver, and it's like, well, I want some sort of armor.
Joe, you had a question?
Well, it says, you know, with Jack, it's might 10, speed 10, intellect 10. 6 additional points to divide among my stat pools however I wish. I just wanted to make sure that the 10s were the stat pool and I'm not dumping an edge or something.
Those are your stat pool. And then you'll add 6 to that, and then you'll get your clever put something in one of them, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah, might is like your melee attack, strength-based stuff, overcoming physical obstacles. Speed is agility, like range-based attacks, your ability to get out of the way, defense, that kind of stuff. And then intellect is like... getting over, like, using magic and that kind of thing. So when you distribute your points, you kind of want to think about, you know, you probably want to be really good at might or speed, depending if you want to be a range fighter or a melee fighter. You might want to be good at both and not good at magic. However you want to shape the character, that's where you want to put your 6 points.
Or you could even be balanced.
Yeah, just put doing everything.
Bill, what are you going to pick as far as your weapon?
Bow.
Yeah, just about. Okay.
I have a well-crafted bow. I'm not sure what that means.
High quality.
High quality, something like that.
Is it high quality? Because I get to get a high quality one, which I don't know what that means yet either.
Yeah, so Monty Cook has developed a licensing program for Numenera divided into 3 separate categories, fans, individuals, or very small publishers, and professionals.
Where's the separations in there? Because you said 4 things in 3 categories.
Individuals or very small.
Okay.
Or 1. Individuals or very small publishers. And professionals. So there's fans, individuals, or very small publishers, and professionals.
Okay.
Professionals means you're making more than $2,000 on an individual product.
And I'm sorry, but what is this profit thing of which you speak?
Wait, people get paid for this?
Yeah.
Not for podcasts. Well, not for this kind of podcast.
Not for our little podcast, no.
Oh, thanks,
there
Doug.
There you go. Give you something to do in editing.
So your question about what armor I was going to wear?
Yeah.
I'm going to wear light armor because as glaives we get the ability that reduces our might cost and our speed penalty by 2.
Mm-hmm.
So light armor has a might cost per hour of 1 and a speed penalty while worn of 2.
Mm-hmm. While so that way you won't have
medium
any
medium armor has 2 and 3 respectively. Right. So I'm going to carry light armor so that I don't have the speed penalty.
Okay. I'm going to take the speed penalty of 1 so I can have a bigger armor so I can be up front.
Right.
Pick 1 background? How does that work?
Or roll.
Or roll, yeah. You can roll if you want.
If 1 fits your character, like, you know, my concept is kind of a Zen archer. So the one that said for Glaive was trained in an isolated monastery far away. The monks think of him as a brother, but he's a stranger to all others. Just screamed the character I wanted to make, so I just grabbed that one.
Right, no, I mean, like, this says, born lucky, school of hard knocks, a cobbled jumble.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
I don't see any place on the character sheet for that, but yeah, you just choose one of them to, as a frame of reference for how you're going to play your character.
Something, a few quick words to help you slide into that character. Right?
Yeah. Well, there's background on the other side of the on the sheet. You could make some notes there.
That chart's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Page 43?
Yeah, 43 has a list of 20 kind of just background statements, but there are also background sections.
3 different approaches to playing that character.
Ah, gotcha.
Hey, Roy.
For each individual class, the Jack, the Nano, the Glaive.
Just flavor, I think. There's no stat.
Okay. Roy, Todd?
the other question is, it says we get a high quality, weapon, but I don't see where that has any,
where
I guess definition. Well, that's for my particular, master of weaponry or master's weapons. Let me try that again. Master's weaponry. And it says I get a high quality weapon of your choosing, but I don't see necessarily where it does anything in particular.
I see a reference of page 80 has more details.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, that's the next page.
Now, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, page 79, it says see page 80 for
more. Yeah, and, you know, and it says go back to page 79 for more, you know.
God, how does your character feel about machinery?
It is a necessary piece of equipment on the battlefield.
Bill, how does your character feel about machinery?
Oh, I think I'm your Huckleberry.
You think?
I can play it that way. Being a mystical, looking inward kind of character, I wouldn't have much need or use for machinery.
Okay, you're it. Have you picked a name yet?
No.
Okay, we'll fill that in.
Todd, getting back to your question.
Sir,
what was the specific terminology about the weapon?
You have a high-quality weapon of your choosing.
High-quality weapon.
Yeah.
And mine is well-made.
Yeah.
Same question.
I'm jotting down some notes to look up.
Well, that's... Okay, here we go. Here's a search function. Let's see.
Oh, I haven't dropped it in from here. Nope. Shoot.
Under skills, it says you are trained in one task of your choosing. What does... Is there a skill list, or are we just kind of using the generic?
Does it not say anything else after that?
No,
there's flex skill.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that's just any task that you want.
There's a suggested list of skills, but a skill can be anything you want it to be.
Yeah.
It can be as specific or as general as you can convince Roy it should be a skill.
And if you choose one that you already got from someplace else, it moves up.
Got it.
And you could, and in the description of the choices, it even says you could make a skill that covers two or more skills that in the list, a more broader concept of it, if you get your GM's approval.
Right.
You're looking specifically at flex skill? At the beginning of each day, choose one task on which you will concentrate for the rest of that day. You're trained in that task? Is that what you're looking at, Joe?
I'm looking at page 42. Yeah.
Jack Tears.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to pick that. That's a daily. You get that every day.
Yeah. So if you think that day you're going to be going into a place with a whole lot of locked doors, lock picking.
But under skills, it says you are trained in one task of your choosing other than attacks or defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then right. It says flex skill.
Oh, what page are you on?
42. So I think I get one skill and then I get a flex.
Well, yeah, and flex skill is daily. You change as daily.
Oh, no, those are two different abilities.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about flex skill. He was talking about
his skill.
He was
originally talking about skills itself, yeah.
Yes, you just choose a skill and you're trained in it.
There was, and I'll try to remember to put this in the show notes, Numenera Character Generator. And it just randomizes character generation for you. You click the button and it gives you everything you need. I am a Lattimore Glaive who carries a quiver. And then you click the next button, and it's got everything fixed for you. Skills, abilities, pools. I am a charming glaive who hunts with great skill.
Charming.
Charming glaive who hunts with great skill. It's neat. darkliquid.co.uk/playground/Numenera. All lowercase.
Okay.
Yep. Question?
I'm trying to figure out. So we can just arbitrarily pick a skill. I mean, there was a skill that it gave us at the beginning.
Yeah, we got four choices for
yes,
the glaive.
Yes, you got to pick one.
Right.
All right, what'd you get?
I'm thinking balance, but I haven't committed yet.
All right, I picked climbing. I thought it'd be most appropriate for me. So, but you can come up with another skill, or is it you just get that one skill? Or
Jacks have a skill choice
okay.
that doesn't have a choice of four like glaives do. They said choice of anything they can come up with.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
we just have that one
now,
skill.
At right now.
Okay.
Well, you, yeah. And anything you got from your, from your.
Right. Yeah. I've got all that other stuff written down here.
Yeah. The skills, there's a skill, there's a box, some box text about skills on page 14 in the player's guide and page what in the rule, in the core book?
25 in the core.
25 in the core.
But, when you advance, one of the choices is picking a skill.
Oh, okay.
So that's when you would pick a skill.
Okay.
So everybody's pretty much done step one. Choose your character, descriptor, type, and focus. Step two, fill in your stat pools as determined by your type. Have you done that yet, Joe?
It's kind of what I'm doing now. Okay. I'm on the skill section.
Yeah, I've got my pool done.
Fill in your edge stats as determined by your type. Write in additional stats as determined by your type. Add any effort, skills, and cipher limits as well as any special abilities provided by your type. These include esoteries, fighting moves, and tricks of the trade.
Esoteries are spells.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Doug, you've got repairing pretty much covered.
My skills, I have Numenera, identifying, and repair. And I have three books. So I have a book about Numenera, a book about wilderness survival, and a book about city life.
Man, that's good. Doug makes characters to succeed. You know it? Okay, well then I'm going to just go with persuasion as my skill. Do we have any other charming persuaders or anything like that?
Do you want me to pick a cipher, or are you going to pick them?
The GM picks them.
I'll pick them.
Persuasion is actually an inability of mine.
Oh, good.
I'm horrible at persuasion.
Good. Oh, yes. Cool. Well, then maybe I'll offset you all a bit.
I was raised in a monastery. I don't know anything about the outside world or how to talk to people.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
But that's actually one of the reasons I wanted to choose mystical, is because of the inabilities. Because I'm no good at charm, persuasion, or deception.
You are Connor Hawk.
Yeah.
Now, are these ciphers used once and you're done?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And you don't hoard them.
And since we can only have so many, us glaives can only have two, and we start with two, so we want to burn them as quickly as useful so that we can pick up more.
Okay.
What are the minor and major effects under the focuses?
Examples for what kind of effect you could get when you roll a 19 or a 20.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So when you make a skill check,
right, and
you roll a 19 or 20,
you get a bonus.
So what, is 19 the minor effect and 20 is the major effect?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I obviously didn't read that far.
Actually, I was just reading it the other night. Now I can't remember, because there's something different happens for 17, 18, 19, and 20.
17, 18 are just extra damage.
Just extra damage, yeah. And then 19 is where the minor, and then major is the 20. Okay.
If I remember correctly.
I'm not down you there, Bill. When you roll a natural 19 and the roll is a success, you have a minor effect. In combat, a minor effect inflicts 3 additional points of damage with your attack. Or, if you prefer a special result, you could decide instead that you knock the foe back, distract him, or something similar. When not in combat, a minor effect could mean you perform the action with particular grace. For example, when jumping down from a ledge, you land smoothly on your feet, or when trying to persuade someone, you convince her that you're smarter than you really are. When you roll a natural 20 and the roll is a success, you also have a major effect. This is similar to a minor effect, but the results are more remarkable. In combat, a major effect inflicts 4 additional points of damage.
Okay, so what rolls is a minor and what rolls is a major again?
Minor is 19, major is 20.
Okay.
In combat, and only in combat, if you roll a natural 17 or 18 on your attack roll, you add 1 or 2 additional points of damage, respectively.
I like that. I'm ready.
Are you sure? Did you get your whole character sheet filled in?
Not entirely, but you know how it goes. You can always fill in as you go.
Yeah, I'm good too.
I just got to figure out ciphers and oddities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I have not done yet. And I will send those out to you guys in time for next week.
Nope. Give me it now.
No. Because Bill has my book. Jason's could not make it tonight.
I want Cypher Diaz.
I'm cutting that. Okay, so you got your character ready? Bill, you got your character ready?
For the most part,
no,
yes.
For the most part?
No.
Yeah, I know, Joe. We're going to be okay.
Tricks of the trade.
That's fine. You've got the most important part set up there. Be fine. Doug, you got yours pretty much ready?
I am down to equipment.
Okay.
I still don't have a name, of course.
So, you think you can have it done by next week?
Oh, yeah.
Great. You get your name done? Have you guys settled your equipment?
No, no, but let me ask you one question. I'll ask the players and we'll metagame here for a second. Should I go two weapons or one big weapon?
Well, how many weapons do you get?
Four.
Well, you don't have two weapons is actually a focus.
Well, I know, but I mean, I can still have two weapons.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure that there's a penalty or something for the offhand.
What do you want to play?
I wouldn't play with a penalty.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't either. So I could go greatsword, which I use two-handed.
Uh-huh.
And that does 6 points of damage as opposed to the medium weapon. So I'll get a high-quality greatsword.
Yep.
And then I can get a free light weapon.
Uh-huh.
And then I get two more weapons.
Okay.
So
A free light weapon?
Mm-hmm.
That was from Tough?
No, it's from Tier 1. It says you get a free light weapon. Free light weapon. Extra light weapon. That's in Tough.
That's in Tough?
Yeah.
Well, I'd take one of each for melee and one ranged of your choice.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
Maybe the dart thrower?
Crossbow. A dart thrower is long range, isn't it?
Crossbow would be speed, not might.
For what?
Well, I think all range is speed.
All range is speed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Just FYI, yeah. When you build your character.
Oh, he's not going to be the range threat most of the time.
No. Since he has four weapons, it'd be more of like a backup, a situational backup.
Right. Something's getting away. I had a shot.
His well-crafted one could be the greatsword.
Greatsword.
But then he also has a long sword and a knife and a ranged weapon of some sort.
Page 42, Roy, it says, yeah. Skill with defense. Choose one type of defense task in which you are not already trained.
Uh-huh.
Might, speed, or intellect. I don't remember training any.
Trained is what having a skill is.
Yeah.
Trained is the first level of having a skill.
Right.
So if none of your abilities gave you that already, you don't have it. So you're not trained in any of them at this point.
I don't guess it did. Because skills just says skill. It doesn't say anything about might, speed, or intellect.
Right. You could choose one with that, but you chose persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't chosen. So if you choose that one as one of your two, do you get two of them?
Choose one type of defense task in which you are not already trained. Okay, so it sounds like you're not trained in might, speed, or intellect, right? Since you're not trained in any of those, you get one of them.
It's not saying you're not trained. It says you can only choose one that you do not have training with.
Right. Means if he's trained in speed, he can't take speed.
Right.
He can take might or intellect.
Right.
He's not trained in speed, might, or intellect. So he can take any one of those three.
Right.
At what point would I have trained? Did I miss something?
Right now.
So it's in the first tier?
Yeah.
Second tier, third tier?
Well, this is a first tier ability, right?
Yes. And skill with defense.
I think at the end of it says you can choose it more than once, unlike normal.
Yes. Unlike most tricks of the trade, you can select this trick up to three times. Each time you select it, you must choose a different type of defense task.
Now, some of the focus, I think, could have given you training in one of those.
I haven't even gone to the focus section yet. I'm still doing my noun part. So maybe I should go do that and then come back?
Yeah. For the choices, I would.
Okay.
Because you get some things that aren't choices, and you get some things that are choices.
Right.
Yeah, because you're doing tricks of the trade, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So if you had chosen trained without armor, you are trained in speed defense actions when not wearing armor. Okay. In that point, you would have been trained in speed. You couldn't have taken speed. You would take might.
Yeah, I couldn't double up on him.
Right.
All right. Let me go through with Clever and go through with Controls Gravity and all that, and then I'll come back to here.
Well, you got the main core of it, so, I mean, and you've got the actual book. Not everybody had the book, and I was wondering to make sure everyone had the book. Todd had said something about starting in someplace like Larrick, mm-hmm. in the Beyond, near the Clock of Kala.
There's a big gazetteer section in the book that I didn't look through, so.
That gives easy access to lots of different places.
I think at this point, with us not knowing anything, we can start wherever.
Yeah.
And we'll be just as lost.
Oh, yeah. I mean, something sparked Todd's interest, and no one else stepped up saying, no, I'd rather play over here.
Yeah.
I was just looking at it because the topography gave us all kinds of different...
Several choices.
Yeah, and if it's in kind of the wild, wild west, that gives you a little bit more freedom.
Yeah, if we're in the beyond, we're out where most people aren't anyway.
Yeah. And the people who are there, we're in the rugged Serenity areas.
The wilds.
Shiny.
Yeah, shiny.
The question about book is on page 82. It's under other equipment book.
Cool. And what does it say?
Provides an asset to any role made concerning the subject of the book as long as the character has the book in his possession, can read it, and can devote half an hour to the task or twice as long as normal, whichever is greater.
Okay.
So I was close to being right.
Yeah, you were right on. It's just half
you have
an hour,
a amazing amount of retention there, Bill.
Well, I did just scour it last night, so of course I slept, so there it all goes.
Tell us where we are, Roy. What do you mean, where we are? Our characters.
Where are your characters? We're going to start in Larrick.
Okay. Just like that?
Yeah, why not? You got something better idea?
No.
Well, it doesn't mean we're based in Larrick.
No. It means that we're there for some reason.
On our way to wherever it is we're going.
Yeah. You all meet in a bar.
So, Joe, what was your... focus.
Controls gravity.
Controls gravity.
Cool. He's Graviton.
No, Graviton is in a cocoon of Graviton right now.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that was then.
Spoiler alert.
This is 9 millennia later, or 9 million years later. He's gotten out of that.
So, question. Being clever, I gain. You're trained in all interactions involving lies or trickery.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does persuasion fall into that?
I would think so in some way, shape, or form, but I'm not sure if it's a separate skill.
It would depend how you're using persuasion.
Right.
There is definitely a kind of flow.
Right.
So if you are persuading someone in a way that is lying or tricking them, then yes, you now count as skilled.
Okay.
But if you're trying to persuade someone in just to win them over to your cause, you're just talented.
By giving them the straight, unvarnished truth, for example.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to list them both as separate and then train both of them as trained. And then mm-hmm. if I'm combining two on the skill sheet, then it'll be specialized.
Right.
There is a little – there is some wishy-washy – not that's not the term for it, but, you know, there's some –
gray area.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because skills become more specific and less specific at the same time. Because your skill is lying and deceiving. In whatever form it takes.
Now, see, here's another skill. You're trained in defense roles to resist mental effects.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So that would affect the skill with defense.
Yeah.
Intellect, so I probably can't.
But it's only a mental defense.
Right.
I mean.
Not necessarily full-on intellect.
Yeah, I don't think. Unless it specifically says intellect, I wouldn't consider it a.
That would be something to explore.
Right.
The net for. Because that does affect what he chooses.
Right.
Both now and going forward, because he can always come back to those.
That was in the Jack section, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Good grief. All tasks involving identifying or assessing danger, lies, quality, importance, function, or power.
Mm-hmm.
What page are you on there?
48. Clever.
Where is the... Bill, you mentioned there's a limit on how many ciphers a character can carry. Is that listed under...
That's listed under your character.
When you got, like, you got three and one, I think, you can have three and one oddity.
Okay.
There's no limit on oddities, but Nano starts with a limit of three ciphers, I believe.
Okay.
It's in the first block of the Nano section, stat part of the Nano section. Glaives can only have two. I can't remember what jacks are limited to.
These character sheets are kind of hard to read, I think. Of course, you don't really have to put a whole lot on them, but they're awfully busy.
Three ciphers. Nanos get three ciphers. Can bear three ciphers at a time.
What page is that?
35. Jacks can bear two. But where does it say how many ciphers you get at start?
Same section, farther down, equipment.
Oh, there you go.
Huh. You start with clothing, two weapons, light armor, an explorer's pack, a pack of light tools, two ciphers chosen from you by the GM, one oddity. So that's what I need to do for...
And in case you're...
Doug?
Me.
Yeah. Bill?
This
is you, Bill?
Yeah.
Two ciphers, two oddities?
Yeah, that's because Mystical gives me another oddity.
Yeah.
Okay, where do I figure my edge?
It's given to you at your character beginning.
Yeah.
I've got my stat pools.
It's
the beginning of the stat section of Jack tells you what your edge ratings are.
Right? Yep. Okay. So we got Bill is a mystical glaive that carries a quiver. Doug is a learned nano who talks to machines. Todd is a tough glaive who masters weaponry, and Joe is a clever Jack who controls gravity. Now, for the next time, I need to get you guys ciphers and oddities, which I've got written down here. I'll make sure you guys have them before we actually play. I'll give you some details on where we're starting once I read the gazetteer, and I'll be ready to start trying to kill you. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to pick it up at that point. Everyone say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight.
So. Four characters done, and maybe two to go. Jason will be on board next time, and Jeff will join in as his schedule permits. And hopefully we can get to Torchbearer early in December. You can get in touch with us by email, roy@rusackgamers.com. You can also get to us by voicemail, 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-766. Or even through Facebook. www.facebook.com/RueSackGamers. Finally, for legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast by the RueSack Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. The opening song is Betty Betty by the Nunchucks. Numenera is copyright 2013 Monty Cook Games, LLC.